Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. And then I like to say this for the recordings. This is the truth about sales. This is week number 7. And I'm your host, Joel Rico. So thank you for coming. And today's session, today's topic comes with a little bit of a caveat. And the caveat is that many people, most people, I've been teaching this material for almost, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 years, I guess. Most people believe that the topic that we're covering today is the biggest one of the curriculum. It's a little bit longer. It's dynamically powerful. It is unbelievably, has a lot of weight and a lot of influence and a lot of horsepower. When applied properly, it almost always produces a yes, where do I sign? Right? That's our goal. Yes, yeah, that sounds great. Where do I sign? Start me, hook me up. Yes, let's do it. Right? Our goal is to generate agreement and a yes. This tool, this technique that we're doing today, I feel has one of the highest close ratios of any other tool. The downside is it's a few more steps. It's a little tricky. And it's not that tricky. And some people think that it's a little bit more difficult than what the easier techniques that we've done before. And I want to just open today's call, today's session, by telling you, even if you don't master the technique that we're doing today, even if you don't master it, if you don't get it, if it's not perfect, even if you just deliver half of it, largely it's still going to work. So I just want to open today by encouraging you to practice. The goal is not that you do any of this perfectly. The goal is that you develop some new muscle memory. You've all heard me in here, I'm sure. You've all heard me mention my friend Rodrigo. I have a friend that has 5 black belts. 5. Let that sink in for a moment. He went through the entire curriculum to get a black belt in karate. When he was done, he went through the entire curriculum to get a black belt in Kung Fu. When he was done, he went through the entire curriculum to get a black belt in Sao Su. The entire curriculum to get a black belt in Sistema. I mean, this dude's a freak of nature. And so imagine something happens. He's out in the world and he gets in a fight. He has to protect, he has to defend his life. Do you think it matters if he applies the techniques correctly? Do you think that he's going to say, well, wait a minute, this would be a good place to use Sao Su technique number 38? Probably not. Right? So what we're doing is not any different. We're practicing. We're exercising. We're building muscle memory. So that's the plan. It's why I keep coming back to practice, practice. Write sentences. Do your home play exercises. Do the rapport game exercises. The goal here is muscle memory and what's effective. All right, so that's our whole caveat for today. I just wanted to get that out there. So we're going to do some awesome stuff today. With that, let's do a little catch-up. And what did you think about last week? All right, last week was a fun and powerful. We did embedded commands. We did hypnotic suggestion last week. So any thoughts, any questions, any breakthroughs, any, oh, my God, I'm stuck. Where did you apply those and have something good happen? Where did you hear those being used on you, like in the media and the commercials? Right? You can't watch commercials and not hear embedded commands. You can't listen to the radio and not hear embedded commands. They're everywhere. The crazy thing is they've been everywhere for a long time, and you were unaware that they were being used on you until last week. So questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs, anything before we jump into our big topic today. *6 on your phone, state your name so we know where to send the referrals. No questions, no nothing, really? No ahas from embedded commands last week?
Joel, Sam, Southern California.
Hello, Sam.
Hi, I wasn't on the call last week, and I just want to say I'm super excited to be here today.
Okay. No worries. You got the link to the recording, so you could hear it last week, yeah?
Yeah, and I plan on doing it this week. I've been sick all week since.
I can hear it.
Yeah, but I'm here. This is the one thing I've been able to make all week, so I'm really excited.
Well, I'm honored we made the top of the list.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, you're in for a treat today, because what we're doing today is just 1,000 horsepower. It's a beast, the technique
awesome.
We're taking on now. Cool. Thanks, Sam, and feel better.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, Sam is sneezing and coughing and throwing up and whatever she's doing. Anybody else? Ahas, breakthroughs, questions. Can I help you with anything? I like to spend the first 5 or 10 minutes just checking in with you. I'm not a fan of just blabbing on for an hour. I think the more interactive we are, the more you guys get out of this, and obviously the more you participate, the better this is. So.
Yeah, hi, Joel. This is Rick Dumont in Roseville, California.
There we go. Hi, Rick.
Hi. I was at our KW retreat last week,
sure.
or a family reunion, and I wasn't on the call either. So
okay.
Can someone send me the replay?
It should have been sent to you already. If you should
okay,
be getting an email after the call. If it's not in your email, if it's check your junk file, if it's not in your
okay.
email, if it's not there, blah, 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 let me know, and I will get you.
Okay.
You should be getting a link to it after every call.
Okay, good. Then it's there. I'll look for it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sure. Anybody else?
Hey, Joel. Matt in San Diego. Just a
hey,
quick
Matt.
Question on I understand the concept that you're kind of building muscle memory and things like that, and it takes time to get good at
sure.
the phrasing and the tonality. What about like when you're starting out and you're starting to use these techniques? I mean, it's going to be potentially a very obvious transition when you're talking from speaking the way you're accustomed to speak and then throwing in, say, an embedded command or attempting to use one in the form of a question, stuff like that. Just any
sure.
tips on how to get through that beginner phase so you're not blowing opportunities by saying things that are not quite authentic to you yet, because they're just not, like in musician terms, they're not under your fingers yet. They're not ingrained, right? So it's going to come
yeah.
off, come across as inauthentic.
Great question. And I love the fact that you phrased it with being authentic or inauthentic. That's for me, that's the measure. Nothing else really matters. So are you talking about any of the techniques in particular? Are you talking about embedded commands in particular, or just anything that we're doing in this course thing?
We can limit it to embedded commands, but yeah, there's
yeah.
obviously all the techniques are new, and so there's that struggle with all of them. But yeah, like
the embedded command is the most critical based on the delivery.
Okay.
Right, so the other tools, like let's say the presuppositions and pacing statements and tie downs, right? So that was what, week four and five or three and four? So if you just look at those, the delivery doesn't really make any difference, right? So I could say to you, Matt, obviously you are learning a bunch of good stuff in this class, and so it'd be great if you would tell your friends about this curriculum so they can do it too. You want to help them, right? So no, my delivery is just, it doesn't matter. We're just talking. And I just put those, I use the embedded command, tell your friends. I use the presupposition, obviously, right? So I'm just talking however I'm talking. The delivery doesn't really matter. The embedded command, on the other hand, the delivery completely matters. And so I like your question. How do you get good at delivery of the embedded command in this one technique where the delivery is everything? I think the best thing that you can do if you're pretty passionate about this, obviously like I am, you can record yourself, you can speak them into the mirror, listen to how they sound. I don't think there's anything better that a salesperson can do than to listen to themselves and watch themselves on video. Right, the best athletes in the world, the best actors in the world, they watch themselves. Oh, see what I did there? Oh, that was right. And give yourself some feedback.
Makes
and then
sense.
Practice
like it.
Practice it everywhere. I think that's the other tool is if I have a really extreme example. I had a client a long time ago that was really driven to grow their business, and they practiced this language really heavily, but only for business. And so as they were talking, they'd just be talking normally like this. And then when the topic of business came up and there was a possibility of a sale on the table, then he would shift into this other mode. Well, so obviously, as soon as you sign the contract, we can, right? And he just went into this weird mode, all slammed full of this content. And it was this really unnatural transition.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way to do it is, the way I recommend really is, to just write these sentences. And what happens when we write? You're using a physical modality, like a kinesthetic thing, as you're writing. Your hand is moving. So you're doing something. Your eyes are involved, visual. You're seeing yourself write. As we write, we usually sound it out as we go. Right? Fortunately, comma, when you, comma, sign the contract, dot, dot, right? As you do those things, we're saying it out loud. So the reason I recommend writing these is because it involves those modalities. We get to see it, do it, feel it, hear it, say it. That makes it happen much faster. And then for the embedded command, say them out loud. Say them out loud. Practice on your kids.
Cool. All right. So write it, record it, say it back, and then use it in non-business situations to just build up the repetition, just increase the number of repetitions and increase the number of modalities in the repetitions.
Well, and my goal, too, is to use it everywhere, not just in business, not just to increase the applications of it.
Mm-hmm.
My goal, though, is to use it everywhere so it becomes your natural language.
Yeah.
So in a perfect world, I would say start using it on yourself. Right? Obviously, when I hit my goals, my business grows and my life is fun. That's what I'm committed to. Right? So as you use it on yourself, it will eventually replace your self-talk. And when it becomes your internal dialogue, then it's your everywhere dialogue.
Helpful? Interesting. Yeah, super helpful. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, and again, if you're really committed to this, then write your home play sentences and then speak them into a recorder and then listen to them play back and see if you would buy from you. See if you would, you know, if it feels good or if it feels out of line. Right? And so especially from last week, the embedded commands, remember when we're practicing, now I'm going to tell you something totally contradictory to what, to what I just said. So when you're practicing embedded commands, I practice them way over the top. I really, really exaggerate them. Why? Because I'm in the gym. I'm lifting weights. I want to lift heavy because I want to get strong. So in using the embedded commands, the command itself, I want to be strong. And so when I practice, I really, really heavily exaggerate just in practice. So for example, in practice, you might say something like, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you've already realized that you must list this house in order to get the money to buy that house. You still want to buy that house over there, right? So now I wouldn't say that to a client. I wouldn't say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you have to list this house in order to buy that one. I mean, I wouldn't say it like that. However, that's how I'm going to practice. Practice way, especially with embedded commands, practice way over the top. And then when you're face to face with a client, you're just going to automatically, you'll just normalize it. And you'll say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, obviously you've already figured out that you have to sell this house in order to get the money to buy that house. You still want to move to the beach, right? Great, let's get this one sold. And it'll just flow out naturally. Great question, Matt. I really appreciate you asking that. Great question. Anybody else? Question, comments, anything before we jump forward? All right. So what we're doing today is a big deal, big topic. I'm going to start by talking a little bit about the ego and how we think and how we work and a little bit of the nature of this technique, and then we'll do a little refresher of the ingredients, of the components that we're going to use, and we'll build it, put it all together. So consider, we've spoken in the past, we've spoken about the ego, right? We're all born with one. And what does the ego want? Well, the ego wants to be heard. It wants to be acknowledged. We like to be right. We like to be validated. We like to be right. We don't like to be wrong. The issue here is that we don't really listen to each other. Like, we almost never get a complete understanding of the other person's position. By the way, I don't think it's possible to ever have a complete understanding of the other person's position. Right? I want to get enough of a gist to move them forward and help them, and I don't think we ever fully understand their complete position. So ask yourself this question. When is it that you are the most receptive to listen to others, to really hear, to really absorb? What's going on? What's up with it? When are you the most receptive? My guess is, for most of us, I'm the most receptive to hear other people when we're in a good space and I think the other person's listening to me. And when am I not listening to the other person? Well, when we're in a dichotomy, when we're vehemently opposed, and one person is saying, oh yeah, well, your candidate is the Antichrist, and if that person gets elected, we're all going to die. Okay, right, that person, we're going to have a hard time with that conversation, because they're being biased, and they're throwing their opinions at me, they're trying to prove themselves right, they don't want to hear me. That's a hard conversation to have. The way in which to move somebody into agreement is to first find places where we're already in agreement with them. Right? This is negotiating, mediation. So for this example I just did, this person that said, oh my God, if your candidate gets in, we're all going to hell, we're all going to die, the world's going to come to an end, dogs and cats living together, if that person gets elected, it's over. So if I'm voting for the other candidate, how do I agree with this person? Well, what in their position do I agree with? Well, I agree that we're both committed to the same thing, right? We both want a better scenario. We both want more liberty. We both want more freedom. We both are concerned about what's happening in the world politically, right? I want to take their side the best that I can. All right, so let's take it a step further. As we played the rapport game that we've been playing since the beginning, what is that really, the rapport game? What are we doing? We're literally agreeing with them. So if the client talks like this, and you talk like this, you're not agreeing with them, right? You're demonstrating that their way of communicating is wrong. So to demonstrate to them that their model of communicating is correct, then I'm going to speak like this too. Great. Let's take a look at the kitchen first, and then we'll look at the comparables, and we'll see, we'll take a good guess on what we think a buyer would pay. And if this is the way that client likes to communicate, I'm going to demonstrate to them that I think this is right by speaking their language. So in addition to modeling their communication style, fast, slow, loud, soft, cuss words, no cuss words, whatever, what else can we do? Well, in addition to aligning with their style, what if we could also align with their truths, right? We've been mirroring and matching their speed and their whatever. What if we could also align with their truths? So what is what's the truth about your client? What's true for them? Well, I don't know. Remember back in, I think it was week 3, we did pacing statements, right? So what, a refresher, what's a pace? What's a pacing statement? Well, a pace or a pacing statement is something that we know for sure is true for the client. How do you know what those things are? Well, hopefully you asked them some questions. You listened to the answers. Hopefully you wrote some notes. Hopefully you pre-qualified them. And so speaking to the client, if when we repeat back to them, let me make sure I got this straight. You want to sell your house in San Diego. You want to sell your big house in San Diego, the one on the beach. Uh-huh. You want to move to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Uh-huh. And because you have so much equity, you want to buy a smaller little retreat house for you, plus two or three rentals in Santa Fe.
Uh-huh.
And you'd like to have that all done by before April 15th, if possible.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
What are we doing? All I'm doing is pacing the client by feeding back to the client the things that the client already fed me, the things that I know are true for the client. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, let me make sure I got this straight. You spoke to the lender, uh-huh. You're pre-qualified for $400,000, uh-huh. You're putting $50,000 down, uh-huh. You'd like a two-story with a three-car garage, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. No pool, uh-huh. You'd like it south of the river, uh-huh, and no shake roofs, uh-huh, 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 yep, uh-huh. What are we doing? All I'm doing is feeding back to them the things that I know that we're in agreement about. And then ask yourself, how does this make the client feel? Now, it might feel a little pedantic. It might feel a little basic. But think about what it does for the client. In an industry where the number one complaint is the salesperson didn't listen, it makes the customer feel amazing that you listened, you heard them, you're confirming you heard them. The customers love this experience. Finally, a salesperson that's actually listening. What is your competition doing? Okay, yeah, you want a bigger house. So let me tell you about my marketing plan. I sold this house, I sold that house. Look, here's a picture of me and my dog. Here's some awards I have. I'm so great. Let me tell you about me. That has the client thinking like, what are they trying to do? What are they doing? Instead, let's focus on them. All right, so those are pacing statements. So our technique today is called verbal pacing and leading. There's just a couple of ingredients. The first ingredient is a pace, right? We studied those in week three. I think it was week three. So now I'm checking in with you. Is anybody not crystal clear on what's a pace, right? We studied them a few weeks ago. This should be easy for you. Any questions, anything about what's a pacing statement, where do they come from, how do you get them, what they look like, how they're delivered, anything? This is the most important part of today, is that we have a solid definition of what's a pace. Any questions about that? All right, let me check in with you. Wow, this house is beautiful. Is that a pace? I don't know, I think it's an opinion. Wow, this is a really great deal. Is that a pace? I think that's an opinion. You told me you want a three-bedroom house. That's a pace, because they told me. You said you want a house with a pool. That's a pace. They told me. Your new job starts in 45 days. That's a pace. It's a fact that's pertinent to the client. I'm the best salesperson in the world. That's an opinion. Right? So a pace is no opinion. A pace is something that when we say it, the customer has no option other than, So how about this right now? We're in the truth. This is the truth about sales workshop. We're on the phone right now. Today's a Wednesday. It's already the middle of February. The entire purpose of this is, All right, so that's a pace. Step number two, what's a lead? Well, a lead is anything that you want the client to see, to know, to understand, to hear, to feel, to focus upon, whatever. It's your goal. It's your intention. A lead is what you want. By the way, all those embedded commands that you wrote last week, pretty much all those are leads. All the sentences that you wrote that had presuppositions, pretty much all those are leads. Fortunately, blah, blah, blah. Naturally, blah, blah, blah. Leads. Obviously, you're beginning to realize this thing I want you to see, lead. Right? So all those are leads. Okay? Checking in again. Anybody not clear what's a pace? and what's a lead, right? Relatively straightforward, I think. Okay, now there's a third ingredient in the mix. And we haven't talked about this before. The third ingredient in the mix is a close. So what's a close? Well, a close is simply a lead with some sort of call to action. Close is what you want them to do. And you're literally asking them to do it. A close could be as simple as sign the contract, or please sign the contract, or are you ready to sign the contract? A close has some sort of a call to action. Should we get started right now? It could be an option. Would you like the house to go live on today, or would tomorrow be easier for you? Right? It could be open-ended. What would be the perfect day to have the house go live on the open market? Friday. Great, Friday. What just happened right there? I didn't say, will you sign the contract? I said, what would be the perfect day for us to make the house go live on the market? And they said, Friday. Great, let me write in Friday. Okay, I guess we're done. Sign here. So that was like a trial close, like what's the perfect day? And they say Friday, and I go Friday. Okay, Friday, you're in agreement. Friday, me, Friday. Yep, Friday, Friday. Okay, everybody's happy for Friday. Great. Okay, just sign here. Let's do it. Right, so those are the ingredients. All right, any questions, anything about the ingredients so far before we start smashing these parts together? No questions, no nothing? Okay. By the way, your call, jump in, interrupt, ask questions anytime. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to assemble these in a series. And lots of different series will work. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And yet, this is the one that I would like to practice. So we're going to practice this verbal pacing and leading structure. And it says, while many patterns and structures will work, this one is the most effective. I can tell you that from great experience. So here's the structure. It's four lines long. Line number one is three paces and a lead. Pace, 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 lead. Line number two is two paces and a lead. Pace, pace, lead. Line three is one pace and a lead. Line four is a close. So it goes three paces, lead, two paces, lead, one pace, lead, close. And then because it's kind of long and it feels like I'm talking a lot and it's kind of hypnotic and I'm leading, I want the client to be engaged. I don't want to put anybody in a trance. I don't want that. I do not want the client in a trance. I want my client awake. So just for good measure, right in the middle of this, at the end of line two, we're going to throw in a tie-down question like, does that make sense? Isn't that great? That's what you want, right? That gives the client a place in the middle of this to check in and register. Yeah, that's perfect, yeah. Right? Just a little bit of extra agreement in the middle. So look at the structure, and what are we really doing? What happens when we go pace, pace, pace? What happens between the client's ears? Yep. So notice, if we get the client to say yes three times, yes, 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 what's going to happen? What are our odds? What happens to our probability of getting the client to say yes on the lead? It goes way up. Yep. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. All right, so here's the structure. Pace, 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 lead. Pace, pace, lead, tie down. Pace, lead, close. What's a close? Call to action. That's it. I know it sounds long. It's really not. And if you take my advice and record yourself, you will find that in your typical sales presentation, you are talking much longer than it would take you to say this. People say, oh, this feels so long. I'm talking so much. Trust me. Record yourself. You'll see how much you talk anyways. So here's an first example. This example is just at a presentation. So, and I'm going to say pace, 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 lead so you can follow along. So it sounds like this. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you want to move to Idaho. Now, I didn't make that up. I'm not moving them to Idaho. They told me they want to move to Idaho. right? So this is from the client. So you told me you want to move to Idaho. Pace. Yes, we do. You said you'd like to be there in 2 months, right? Or you said you'd like to be there before Easter. You said you'd like to be there before whatever. Pace. And you told me that you do need the proceeds from this house in order to purchase the replacement house. So clearly we need to sell this house to make this move happen for you. Now, that's a pretty easy lead to agree to, isn't it? They go, well, I need the money from this house to buy that house. And so what's my lead? Clearly we need to sell this house to make it work. Yeah. Easy lead. Easy, easy, easy. Now, line number two, the lead's going to be a little bit stronger. Line number two, two paces, a lead, a tie down. Number two says, so I'm the third agent you've interviewed. Pace. And you said you were impressed by my track record. Pace. So we should probably get started right away, shouldn't we? Maybe, probably. Right, I don't have to get a hell yes right there. So we should probably get started right away. Time is of the essence for you, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. Line number three, one pace, one lead. Since time is of the essence for you, let's not waste any more of your time. No, we don't want to do that. No, we don't. Notice we're both saying no, but we're saying no in agreement. We don't want to waste any. You don't want to leave money on the table. You don't want to waste time. No. Line number four is the close. So let's go ahead and sign the contract. I'll get the stager and the photographer scheduled. We can have the house on the market inside of 48 hours. Yeah, that sounds great. Perfect. Sign here. All right, one more time. No interruptions, no pacing, no leading. My request is that you put yourself in the seller's shoes. Imagine this is you moving to Idaho. And just feel what happens in your brain, in your mind, as you hear this. Right, just feel this. You are the seller, and I'm saying to you, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you told me you want to move to Idaho. You said you'd like to be there before Easter, and you told me that you need the money from this house to buy the replacement house in Idaho. Clearly, we need to sell this house to make that happen for you. So you said I'm the third agent you've interviewed, and you were very impressed by my track record. So you should probably get started right away, right? Since time is of the essence for you, let's not waste any more of your time. Go ahead and sign the contract, and I'll call the stager, I'll call the photographer, I'll get the video tour ordered. I can have the house up online as fast as tomorrow night. So notice, what am I asking the client to agree to? All the stuff they told me they wanted. What am I not asking the client to agree to? Let me tell you how great I am. I'm so awesome. Look at my plaques. I'm the best in the world. That guy's no good. I'm awesome. Don't hire him. Hire me. Let me tell you how awesome I am. Why? Because that's always subjective. And I can't always get them to agree that I'm awesome. Even if I think I'm awesome, it doesn't matter. Even if you think you're awesome, not about you. What is the client agreeing to? Yep, Idaho, be there before Easter, I want to spend Easter with the grandkids, yep, sadly, I need the money from this house to buy that house, I can't pay cash for two, it doesn't work that way, yep, it's true, I need to sell this one to buy that one, yep, the third agent I've interviewed, yep, yes, you are, yeah, your track record, we did say that. What are we asking them to do? I'm just asking them to agree to what they told us, which is why it's virtually impossible for them to say no to this. Why? Because it's all the stuff they generated. And as long as you're moving them forward, moving them towards what they want, not, hey, you should listen to me because I'm awesome. They don't want to list with you because they're awesome. They want to sell the house and move to Idaho. Listing with you is a step to get them to Idaho. They don't want to list the house. They don't want to hire a broker. They don't want to deal with you. They don't want to pay a commission. They want to move to Idaho. They'll do those things because they get them to Idaho. All right, any questions about that? We have a couple more examples. I want to give you as much example structure as I can, and then I'm going to give you a cheat sheet on how to do these easily or more easily. So Questions, comments, anything? Are you excited? Are you scared? These are a tiny bit longer. And so what? I don't care how long it takes. My goal is to have a 100% close ratio, meaning I don't care if this appointment is 5 minutes or 2 hours. I'm totally committed to finding out what they want, helping them get it, to provide such good service that everybody that talks to me says, yes, where do I sign? I don't care if it takes an extra 10 minutes. So what? All right, another example. This example, next one, obviously, is on price reduction. So if this is your listing, and these are things that you know about your listing, do you think the customer knows too, the client? For sure they do. So if it was your listing and it wasn't selling, you're the broker, would you know for how many weeks that property has been on the market not selling? Yeah, of course I know that. Would you know if you're getting a lot of showings or very few showings? Yes, you'd know that. So would the customer. Would you know that you got a lot of showings in the first week or two and then not so many? Yeah, you'd know that. So would the customer. So these are things that both of you know. So imagine when we start pacing the client, you might say something like this. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, hey, I just want to check in with you. We've been on the market for 7 weeks. Uh-huh. We haven't received any offers. Yeah, I know. And now we're only getting a couple of showings a week. Yeah, I know. Clearly, you realize what the market is telling us. Wow, I didn't want to realize that, but I guess I kind of am. Line number two, more pacing. The house is in excellent condition. Yeah. Now, only say that if it's obvious, right? Because there's some subjectivity in that, right? Excellent for me and excellent for you might be two different things. But if the house is like model gorgeous, you can get away with, hey, the house is in great condition. We've had dozens of showings. Uh-huh. The only thing left is to adjust the price on the house. Does that make sense? Yeah, I guess so. So, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, we've had 7 weeks of exposure. Uh-huh. The buyers are still buying other properties. Ouch, I guess they are. Wow. So I think it's time to lower the price and get it sold so you can move and be closer to your grandchildren. Yep, that's what we want. We want to be close to the grandkids. Great. Sign here, I'll adjust the price today. So this is like agreement selling, right? I want as much agreement as I can get because I want the client to say yes as many times as I can. What if I can get the client to say yes, I don't know, 10 or 20 times? Yep, yep. Great, should we sign the contract? Yeah, okay, good. Right, we're setting up a yes response pattern. Okay, questions, comments, anything? I have one more example I'm going to rip through real quick, and then I'm going to give you my shortcuts. One more example. This is an investor, right? One of my favorite people in the industry are investors. Why? Because they are logical, and I'm logical. And they make sense, and I make sense, and it's easy to crunch the numbers, and the house works or it doesn't work. And, you know, investors don't go, well, the floor plan's not quite right for me. The carpet's not quite the right color, right? You don't have those problems with investors. So they're always my favorite clients. So here's one for an investor. This is a true story, real investor, real client of mine. I literally wrote this before I called him. We spoke a little bit. I said, what are you doing? What are you up to? What are your goals? What does that look like? What would you like? All I did was ask questions. And I said, well, let me do a little homework, and I'll get right back to you. And then I wrote something like this. And his name was James. I said, so James, you own – hang on, let me read this. I think this was not James. I think this is another investor. I think this is Tom. So I said, Tom, you own several rental properties now. Uh-huh. You told me you were looking to grow your portfolio. Uh-huh. And you want to secure your monthly cash flow. Uh-huh. So naturally, owning a higher number of smaller units would be a better position for you. Oh. He went like, literally, he went, oh, hey. Like, oh, isn't that an interesting idea? And then while he was like, oh, hey, yeah. Line number two, two of your houses are vacant now. Both of these properties have large equity positions. And if we sell them now, you can access over 400,000 of that equity to use as capital. That's some great seed money, isn't it? Yeah, that's some great seed money, right? Selling the vacant ones, big equity positions, reapply that equity. So with this 400,000 as a down payment, yep, I'm with you. You could easily buy this $1 million multi-unit building, easily, 40% down. So should we list these two houses now and then get your portfolio kicked into high gear? And he went, yeah, let's unload those two vacant ones as quick as we can. So how easy was that? He has a portfolio. He has a couple that are vacant. The vacant ones had equity positions. I found all this by saying, what do you have? What does it look like? What do you owe? How much does it make? Is it currently occupied? All I did was ask questions. It's my belief that all of the answers are contained inside the client. It's all in there. I'm not going to convince them of anything. I might stir it up a little differently. Now, if I didn't talk to the client first, if I didn't know any of this, what would that conversation have been like? Oh, yeah, I can get you a rental property. What would you like to buy? I can find one, sure. You should buy one. Use me. I'm great. Right? Didn't help them at all. What does help them? Help them dissect what they have. Ask them lots of questions. Process through. Pre-qualify. Find out what do they have. What do they want? What do they need? What does that look like? What's behind it? What's important to you about that? Right? So realize I had to ask him the criteria questions back from call one or two, I think, two, that I had to know. You want to grow your portfolio. You want to secure your cash flow. All that was from security, from criteria questions. Right? He had an issue about security. He's getting older. Right? So that's how that works. All right. So my cheat sheet. What is it that you need in order to build a verbal pacing and leading structure? What do you need? Well, the most important thing is we need six paces, right? Three and then two and then one. Three plus two is one plus three plus two is five plus one is six. We need six paces. And then each line gets a lead. So you need lead, lead, lead. You need three leads and then you need a close. For me, I always start with my intention. What's my intention? My intention is the close. Sell these two listings. Sell these two houses. Lower the price. Refer your friends, right? For me, the whole intention is because of the close. So what is my intention? My intention builds the close. And then based on the close, what do I know? What do I know? What has the client shared with me? That builds the paces. And then the leads are just, I just kind of flow out of me as we move in that direction. As I start marching them from the paces towards the close, the leads are the little steps I take to get there. And by the way, the close shouldn't be a surprise. A close should be a very natural, organic transition from leading to leading to leading to leading. I guess we're here, we should sign. All right. Just as an example, this part that says my cheat sheet. In order to create a verbal pacing and leading structure, start with your intention. The intention is list your house with me today, whatever. List with me might be your intention. Reduce the price might be your intention. Invite me over might be your intention. I don't know. So just for fun, we need six paces and three leads. Just for an exercise, if you're calling an expired listing, what are some paces that you could use if you're calling expireds? Like what, for example? Unmute, come in here and throw a few at me. Like what for an expired?
Are you still interested in selling your house?
Yeah, I'm here. Say, are you still what?
Are you still interested in selling your home?
Yeah, so that's a question. That's a little bit more of a lead. What is it that you already know about this seller? What's a pace?
Your home expired from the market today.
Yeah, your home, the listing on your home expired. Yep, it did. I know, my phone's ringing off the hook. Damn right it did. I know. But that's a, I mean, they can't argue that. They must say, yep, I know. What else do we know about the expireds? What, before you call an expired, what else do you know about them? Yeah, it expired today or yesterday or last week, whatever. What else do you know? Anybody?
Your agent didn't succeed.
Yeah, your agent was unable to get it sold. Good. There's a little presupposition in there that it was dependent upon the agent. No problem. Right? If you want to be 1,000% correct, you could say it didn't sell. I
Joel,
see you
Alan,
were listed for 6 months. Yes, Alan?
From Madison. You still want to sell your house?
Probably. That's an assumption. It's possible that they say, no, we took it off the market because my job transfer fell through, so we're staying.
Right, so that's not 100% sure, so that wouldn't be...
That's not 100% sure. It's a decent
right.
guess because 8 out of 10, you're going to be right.
Right.
I like to play for 100%.
Sure.
So what do you know for sure about this expired listing? For sure, what do you know?
You wanted to sell your house.
You wanted to sell your house. Perfect. You wanted to sell. You listed it with ABC Company. It was on the market for 6 months. You started at 550, you brought it down to 520, and eventually it came down to 499. It still didn't sell. Right? All those are true. The client has no option but to say, Okay, what about for a for sale by owner? What are some paces that you could use for a for sale by owner? What do you know? Well, I know they're attempting to sell it on their own. Yes?
Joel, Alan again. Something similar to what you just said. You're marketing the property yourself.
Yep. Yeah, you're marketing the property solo. You're attempting to sell by owner. I see that you're asking $450,000, and the house is 4 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. It's been for sale by owner for 4 weeks. I drove by the sign every day. You have that blue two-story on the corner. Your sign out front says, "Will cooperate with brokers." I don't know, whatever you know. Let's say you're at a listing appointment. What do you know? You said you want to move here. You said you had to be there by then. You told me you owed $250,000. You'd ultimately like to get about $500,000 for the house, and you owe about $250,000. You told me you've been here more than 2 years as a principal residence. That means you have no capital gains taxes on the proceeds. Good for you. You said that you'd like the next house to be a single story. Right? Whatever it is that you know. So this is the game. Notice at the beginning of our curriculum, what did we do? We asked lots of questions. We did the criteria questions. We did listening exercises, how to ask, how to listen, how to remember, how to take notes. We practiced pacing statements. You told me you want to make as much money as possible, right? Yep. So now we're just kind of smashing all these together. So again, here's the thing. 3 paces, a lead. 2 paces, a lead. Put a tie down right there, too. 1 pace, a lead, and then a close. And the leads start easy and get stronger and stronger and stronger, and the last lead is so strong it's actually a close. Please sign the contract. Okay. Questions, comments, ahas, examples, anything? Love letters, hate mail, whatever you have. No, nothing. Okay. Would you like another example? Would you like to practice on a scenario that you have? At this stage, how can I be the most helpful for you? And I strongly recommend this week, as much as every other week, practice these. I mean, literally practice this technique. Oh, I also wanted to say that if you completely screw it up, if you completely botch this whole thing, what I'd like you to get from muscle memory out of this week is pacing first, then leading. Pace, 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 lead. Pace, pace, lead. Pace, 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 lead. Pace, lead. Pace, pace, whatever. I have done this where I had a phone call I had to make for a price reduction or whatever it was. And so I really wanted to nail it. So I knew what was true for the client, and I literally wrote out a whole verbal pacing and leading statement. So when they answered the phone, I was going to say, hey, I just wanted to check in with you, and whoosh, right into the verbal pacing and leading statement. And I only got out line one, which was pace, 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 lead. That's it. I said something like, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, hey, we've been on the market for 7 weeks. I'm reading this example number two. We've been on the market 7 weeks. We haven't received any offers yet, and now the showings are slowing way down. We only got two last week. Clearly, you're hearing what the market is telling us, right? And they were like, yeah, we got it. I know. You told us in you know, 5 or 6 weeks we're going to have to adjust the price. We bumped it out to seven. It's clear that the buyers are not biting. We talked about, yeah, I think we need to come down about 50,000. Okay, great. I'll adjust that now and send you over a thing to sign. I'll do that today. And I'll re-up the marketing. I'll call all the people who've shown it. Let's see what we can do at this price. All I did was line one. I didn't even get to the close. They're, yep, 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 I know, yep, I know, okay, yep. Reduce the price? Yeah, I think you're right. Damn, you're probably right. I guess we should reduce it. Or they'll say, yeah, I think you're right. By how much do you think we should reduce it? Think we should take off like 10 or 20? I go, I don't know. How big of a hurry are you in? Well, yeah, I guess we should probably do 20. So it's okay if you don't get this whole thing nailed. The goal is pacing, pacing, pacing. Why? Because that generates agreement, agreement, agreement. All right. Questions, comments, another example? Let me read you one more and I'll turn you loose. Kick you guys out a few minutes early and let you get back to work. So not all of you, but many of us on this call are Keller Williams. I'm broker agnostic. We have lots of non-Keller Williams agents in here too. So for those of you that don't know, Keller Williams gives incentives for bringing in, but the reason why Keller Williams has grown as fast as it's grown is because their model is they incentivize every Keller Williams agent to recruit other agents. We're incentivized for that. Why not, right? So how about this? I'm talking to another broker I just closed a deal with. And we talked, and I said, so how long have you been selling real estate? How's your business? What does that look like? How many do you sell a year? How's that, right? Just asking some basic questions. Then we're done, right, when we close the escrow, I said, wow, so you've been selling real estate for 8 years. You've been with the same company your entire career, one company. Wow, that's unheard of. And your business just jumped up about 40% over last year. Wow, clearly, you're committed to growing your business and taking yourself seriously. Good for you. Line one, right? That was pace, 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 lead. Line two, you told me that you're now doing about 4 a month. Pace. That puts you on track for about 48 sides this year. Wow. And your average sales price is now, especially with this big sale we just did, your average sale price is now over 300. That's impressive. Are you aware, this took 5 seconds of math, are you aware that at your 80-20 split, that you're going to pay your current broker about 85 grand this year? Are you aware of that? And he went like, if you hit your goals, you're paying your broker about 85 grand. And he about vomited. I said, you've already taken more listings this year than all of last year. And you now know that you're going to pay your broker about $60,000 more than you would pay to be at Keller Williams. And I thought he was going to throw up in his coffee. And I said, so, you know, you could certainly give that money to your broker, or you could join Keller Williams and give yourself a $60,000 raise by not doing any additional work. Damn, who do I talk to? Where do I sign? That's it. Notice what I didn't say. Oh, Keller Williams is so great. We're so awesome. We're the whole best. We're so awesome. You should join us. It's so amazing. Let me tell you how much I love it. Why? Because telling isn't selling. When we tell, when we spew our subjective views and beliefs and opinions, they are listened to through the filter of judgment. When we ask good questions and enroll the client, we force the client to think. My question to you is, do you want your client stewing in judgment, or do you want your client thinking? I want my client thinking. I want them to think. So I'm going to ask them questions that cause them to think. So that's it. I've got a couple, 2-3 minutes left. Last chance, questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs, anything at all, scenarios, anything I can help you with while we're here. All right, then. So if you thought this week's lesson was a little tough, it's a little longer, for sure. Most people believe that it's the biggest, longest, heaviest, whatever, meaning that next week we go back to really easy stuff. In fact, what we're doing next week is, I think, one of the easiest to learn. It's just some context. It's unbelievably powerful, super easy to absorb, and I've been using it on you since week number one. Right? So you haven't noticed it. You haven't felt it. Well, you have felt it. You haven't noticed it. It's super easy. We're going to do that next week. So that's it. Thank you all for being here. Thank you in advance. One more quick plug. Thank you in advance for spreading the word about this training. Right? My number one challenge is marketing and spreading the word and blah, 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 blah. So really, really appreciate. I've got some unbelievable testimonials this week. Thank you so much for doing that. I can't tell you how much I appreciate a personal, authentic testimonial. Those just make all the difference in the world for me. My tagline on my emails is, you know, to making a difference in the world. So it means the world to me that I'm making a difference in your world. That's it. So thank you all for being here. You guys rock, as usual. Go make a difference in the world. All right. See you all next time. Bye-bye, everybody.